Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Isawellan Writes Grown-Up Storytime, and how are you? Me? I think I need more coffee. I just read through chapter 9 almost flawlessly. I mean, it wasn't perfect. As I'm reading it, I'm realizing it feels like the chapter is unedited. Maybe I'm reading the wrong chapter. I'm not sure what the problem is, but I'm a trooper. I'm going to sail on through, and then I look at it after I'm done, and I spend another 5-10 minutes chatting with you after the episode, and I'm recording it, and then I sign off and I say, have a good day. And then I look at it again and I realize I just read chapter 10 and recorded it. I still need to read chapter 9. So that is how my day is going, you beautiful people. I am going to go ahead and get started on this. Chapter 9 of Caught. This is Calyx's point of view. It will take me about, this chapter will be about 20-25 minutes, just so you know. So settle in. We listen on a car trip or, you know, while you're washing, mowing the lawn. You can't hear anything. What am I thinking? I don't. Folding laundry is good, though. Okay. Chapter 9, Caught, Calyx's point of view. This girl. Calyx's script film was wet clothing, his chest and ass muscles jumping the whole time, twitching with Anya's magic. His cock hurt, burned, every inch of it on fire with ravenous need to empty his balls into her. An invisible imp sat right at the base of his spine with its fist, punching him in the tailbone with heartbeat after heartbeat of want. He'd never known a need like this, never fought so hard to restrain himself. Female prey came easy. They jumped into his path and spread their legs, willing and happy to oblige. Some were witches who needed it, some were halfborns and gnolls who wanted it, and the whole thing of associating with a hunter. That shit was universal. Women did not resist him. The magic always yielded, no matter what that he didn't look like a native. Not this girl, not Anya. He'd never met a witch who could harness her magic the way she could. He'd seen them try and hide their nature, just like she did, but they couldn't swallow it down so far no tiny spark of need showed. The magic wanted out. When they came of age, they needed the touch of a mage to set the magic free. It was biological, not a matter of will or choice, and that had been his experience with every witch he'd ever met in his life. Once they hit maturity and regular cycles, they had to have a release or suffer painful, oftentimes deadly consequences. That is how the native born were made. That was a cycle of life, the balance of things. Anya was different, completely different. Calyx, you gotta see this, Gage said, handing him fresh clothes. They'd been walking the grounds, checking security for the house all morning. There'd been an attempt to break in while he'd been on the last hunt. Three intruders caught inside the protective shield, a mage and two halfborns. Could be a rival, could be Union forces. He'd pick the first if he had a choice in the matter. Snooping Union men might mean they knew his other activities, and he wasn't ready for them to go on the defensive. There'd be no more break-ins through weakened areas of the shield now that he'd strengthened it with fresh energy. That girl's magic flowed through the old structure, making it alive like in the times of his grandparents. Everything worked, everything. The shield formed a complete bubble over and around them. Last night, high off of her, he'd given it too much. The renewed energy sliced off tree branches and other uncleared growth in all the unreachable, unmaintained areas, leaving a mess behind that he wanted cleaned up. He'd never been so filled, holed, complete, with no more room inside to contain what a native could give. He wasn't some weak little shit who didn't know how to handle the raw power influx of a young witch, but Anya's power liked to slam into him, hard and hungry. Last night, old light bulbs had exploded. Appliances switched on, and the surge of power caused the old, untended things to explode. Four bathrooms had flooded as water activated where there hadn't been running water since before his birth. Full up on the girl, he hadn't slept, just gone from task to task with more waiting from him from malls that already added to the things he needed to accomplish before his next hunt. He'd been trying to stay away from her today. She was all sweet temptation, a spitting kitten that needed to be put in her place. She'd go soft and willing after another spanking, but if he touched her like that again, he was going to fuck her. He needed to wait. Her fear would not accept any pleasure from a coupling, and he did not want her to feel forced or to hate him afterwards. He wanted to tear down her walls, not provide reasons to build new ones. Not this girl. Not when he wasn't going to walk away from her. Calix didn't know what had set her off. One minute he'd been helping to clear debris away from the stables. The next his body started seizing with an impossible surge of power. He'd almost fallen to his knees with the hard punch of it. And there was nowhere for it to go. No place to store it. For the first time he knew the fear of a witch. The girl had enough magic in her to kill him. He pulled his head through his shirt, looked over at her. How was she not unconscious after what she'd just done? How was she not a burned-out husk, drained to a skeleton down to nothing? She looked as luscious now as she had in his bed this morning, a little thin but not weakened or harmed by her power release. Women just didn't walk around with endless amounts of energy resources. It defied the natural balance of things. He'd heard about her mother, what that woman could do, but this, no. This would have, should have wasted her, should have killed them both. He shook his head. The girl was a mystery. Secrets. He'd find them all out. Fuck every one of them out of her eventually. Gage lingered, watching the hounds as they begged Anya for her attention. Get out, Calix told him. His men had seen her too. Lit up with power and color like something from a man's dreams. White skin, colored touch, starred-filled halo hair around her. Radiance his eye couldn't take in all at once. Gage was a gnoll, a gifted fighter with amazing speed and dexterity, but with no ability to channel a witch's life energy. That hadn't stopped his cock from getting hard at the magnificent sight of Anya's perfect tits. Max was a shifter, natural born, and after the Union Wars, one of the last of his kind. Though not a mage, he had an affinity for witches. He couldn't shape their magic, but he could release it, drawn to the girl like an addict drawn to his drug. Now both of them had seen her shining like a rare jewel, helpless to resist the call of her unveiled ability and overt sensuality. Her delicate, stubborn beauty had stolen Calix's breath. She'd gone to crazy lengths to hide it, bound up her tits, tight and cruel, padded her waist, thickening herself like a sausage, then working at the lowest of servant jobs for hours every night in the whole getup. The little witch, embarrassed by what had physically decimated anyone else, huddled in the tub with the hounds, leaning over. His hard-won hellhounds begged her to get out so they could shower her with more puppy love. Fucking hounds. He had suffered to set them free. The bargain had cost him gallons of his blood and flesh from his back. They burned through him with their fire and judgment until he begged to die again. Winning the pack from their original master had taken an entire year, and not a moment of it had been pleasant. The girl said she had given Seven a soup bone, and they talked to her. Secrets. She had secrets. He grabbed a towel. Come on, baby. You can't stay in that water all day. You can leave now. Her petulance made him want to smile. Not normal in any way, this girl. She'd made him come with her in the tub, with her kiss. Every time she got her release, he got his, a spontaneous pleasure, pain burning from balls to cocktips, shooting out of him without warning or permission. Shoved into fresh, dry clothing, his cock still felt ready to go, wanting the silk of her pussy. There'd been no relief with each emission. He still felt raw and blue-balled. "Let me help you out, dry you off. You must be tired." That was some power release. She sighed, put upon like an old donkey out in the yard who complained when commanded to do the slightest chore. Impossibly, the little thing didn't act tired, just defeated. Her sweet body coming into the view, slopes and curves that made his head tremble and his tongue stick to the roof of his mouth, Anya sloshed over to the exit ladder. How had he missed his chance to shape her breasts, brush his thumbs over her nipples, lick at the water as it dripped off? There was so much he was going to do to this girl when he got her where he wanted her and conquered this ridiculous fear of hers. Anya wasn't uninfected by his magic, responding from the start, but she'd done something to herself. Her nature gone twisted and bound up the same way she had bound up her chest. Pretending to be unaffected by the sight of her, he took her hand and helped her out, then wrapped her up in the toweling. He could have used the binding change to force compliance. It gave him complete control over her physical body. The nasty little ancient invention, he was relieved when she followed directions this time. Get dressed now. Malls will take you for food, then to the library. After you chat with Andrews, you can rest if you need to. I'm not an old lady. I don't need a snack and a nap every 4 hours, she snapped. How about a spanking to remind that mouth how to talk to me? She let out a little growl, the sound going right to his cock. She poured enough energy in him to light up a city, and yet she feared his touch? A spanking? He shook his head at the imbalance. Witches were physically weaker. They got sick, could get harmed, could be damaged. He knew they took longer to heal than a mage. Overuse of their magic could tire them, wear them out, kill them. There were other mages in the household she could pour into and power up with. So much life energy in her, like she had a direct connection to the earth's heart. But he was going to be a selfish bastard, because the clean, sensual heat of her was his and no one else's. He wasn't sharing this one if he could help it. Curling himself around her from the back, he let her feel his cock pressing over her ass. It would be easy to become addicted to the sight of that play of light under her skin whenever he touched her. He loved how witches were small, how they fit against his shape, this one especially. Filled with her power, it was hard to resist the urge to pick her up, to pull her against him, to put her where he wanted her. He wanted to fuck for days. This is your last warning, Mokadalich. Are you going to be agreeable, or do you need a lesson? I feel like I've been patient with that attitude of yours, but I won't have this vulgar spewing in front of my people. You need to act the part of the submissive little witchling, even if you don't feel it. I won't tell you again. She shivered. The collar twanged, a discordant note in the back of his head, with her desire to be across the room and as far away from him as possible. Calyx felt a wicked smile as he put his lips against her cheek and inhaled her scent. Sweet honeysuckle sugar laced with the verdant mix of smells that came from the towers. A combination of temptation and home he knew he would always want. His hands found her waist over the towel she held. Why had he given her that? She should be naked, pinned under him while he pounded inside of her. Her magic rose, not dimmed in the slightest, not just trapped beneath her skin, but glowing, lighting up the room in a spectacular display. It caressed him everywhere, under his clothing, his skin, teasing instead of acting normally. She whimpered, resisting, body stiff. Any other female would yield. Instant compliance taught since birth, an inborn need to give into the mage through touch. Please don't take all of my dignity and sense of self in one day. Can we not? Can we spread it around a little? Just destroy me, inch by inch, until I get there, until I don't know how it happened. Girl said the oddest shit. Didn't she know about normal behavior? You will be respectful and follow directions. You understand? Yes. Her whisper hung in the air. Unable to help himself, he rewarded her, pressing his lips against her cheek. She didn't move or say anything. Tense and afraid, holding herself so tightly she looked like another touch could make her shatter, he wanted to comfort her, wrap himself around her, tell her he'd make everything in her world fucking fine. The girl wanted none of that. Calling the hounds, he went to the door. They usually slept the day away, hating the daylight, tucked in the stables when he was out of the house. Baby witch had messed them up too, wanting to be with her wherever she was so bad he had to keep them close, knowing Seven wouldn't stay in the stables if he wasn't there to make her. Inky Blank, big as ponies, thicker and meaner and with more teeth, the entire pack wanted near her, to touch her. When he released her to leave, instead of following him, like the loyal creatures he'd known them to be, they circled the girl instead, while she hid her face and buried herself against them. Damn it! Blood and flesh he'd given them! Temptation to leave them with her teased him a bit, but he decided against it. Too many people in the house with hounds who would bite in half. Too many people in the house who the hounds would bite in half if given half the chance. He knew Anya could talk to them, control them even, but what would the passionate, stubborn creature do with that control? He made them come with him, all but Shade, who'd been sneaking off to her, the little bastard. The house, his house, between and in the dead forest, the locals called the Towers, had been in his family for generations. Lived in by a couple of old Silverants, children of the children of the children who had always served his family, most of the place had fallen into ruin because it lacked a native mother and a mage like his father to maintain it. Union forces led by Knowles had killed his grandparents, forcefully relocating his parents and their children into re-education training and allocation as Proctus Tamar and the Union conglomerate saw fit. It was all bullshit then, all bullshit now. Knowles outnumbered the natives almost 50-1. It had always been a balancing act, those with magic and those without, helping each other, respectful of each other, until Proctus Tamar and his predecessor decided otherwise. They'd used a so-called magic shortage that they had caused as an excuse to control every native-born they could get their hands on. Their propaganda spewage had convinced the formidable Knoll population that the Indonesian needed to be contained, monitored, and cultivated, all for the good of the unified peoples. With Anya here, the house was now infused with energy, and he could restore it to its former glory. He didn't know half the things the house could do. Hardly any of his secrets, since he'd only been able to visit it a few times as a child. And only. He only had his father's stories. He took the hall to the exit, intending to head back to the cleanup work. He'd think this through while his hands were busy, while his body sweat out the need to mount the little witch and make her his own. He'd haul branches, chop wood, clean out clogged pipes until the heat of his muscles became a different kind of heat. He stopped, dead in his tracks. Midday, the big old trunks of the tower split up the shine of the sun. There had always been outside lamps, magic-powered, to light up the boundaries of the property day and night. They were all shining on high now, making it easy to see the queen tree, which housed his bedroom. what had been his parents' bedroom. He didn't have to look too far up to see the lower branches curving over part of the house and part of the courtyard like thick embracing arms. Dead branches, the protective arms of the past, since the Union mined out all the inilium. Except they weren't dead. They were green. Trees that hadn't been alive since his grandfather's time, greening with buds and new growth. Lucas and Tunio were on top of the roof closest to one of those branches, talking back and forth. Unable to believe what they were seeing, Calyx didn't have to believe it. He saw it. The fat buds and the air filled with a hazy dust. As the afternoon light wind breathed through the trees, decay sloughed off. The ancient thing had been dead. Now it wasn't. Gage came up to him from the stables. "She's what you've been hoping for, isn't she?" "No. That girl is beyond any witch I ever encountered," Calyx said honestly. Gage had been with him a long time. He'd saved his ass from Union forces, helped him when he was at his lowest, and sacrificed shit to do it. Calyx's instinct was to hide his thoughts about the girl, but he wouldn't do it with a man he considered a brother, even if he was a Null. "The way you two lit up. Don't know how many times I've seen you with a witch, but it never looked like that before." "Don't you think other mages sensed that?" "Shit, like a flash explosion or something, so bright I couldn't see." "The shield should contain it. Clear as glass, with a slight blue tint. Nothing passed through it without his permission." It was an old thing. The cycle shields he'd created were based on the design of the gigantic magic bubble formed by his ancestors. But it was now powered by Anya's wild magic. Changed. And he wasn't sure how much. Witch and mage together created a signature, just enough that the enemies who were trying to get into his compound would know there was a new female behind the shield's borders when they touched it. They'd have to touch it first, though. Everything behind it, by design, was as blurry and vague as a mirage. They wouldn't see the alive tree, or the brightened lights, or the working house. He'd brought the girl out of hiding. It would be impossible to keep energy like hers from the notice of others. She was a beacon. "Do you even need the other sugar now? What are you going to do with the other girls?" "Don't have to do anything with them. I hired them for the household. Bayer, Jorfin, Andrews, and Tweed, they mingle with them too." Calyx frowned. Oh, shit. He'd forgotten about the sugar girls he'd scooped up on his hunts. They'd been happy to come here, escaping unwanted husbands and Union forces, limited to the grounds, effectively jailed for their own safety. He drew from their magic with a kiss and a touch as needed. Though the other mages in the pack mingled with them, officially he put all the women under his protection. He was master of this house, and he wouldn't have any other pure-born Indonesian spit thinking he could take whatever he wanted. Anya's kiss had wiped them from his memory. She had more than enough energy for him, and being so young, green with all her fears and strange ideas, the other women would be sure to cause trouble with her. The curvy little kitchen rat was as proud as a queen. The hounds had made her second in the pack, second in his household. He just knew that she wasn't going to yield to that easy traditional things he'd establish here, and play third to another man or woman. After setting his home up the way it had been in his grandfather's day, he'd encouraged the protective, guiding nature of the mages under him. He restored the balance. All of the men understood. They had a common goal, take back what unification had destroyed. That started with the basic mage-witch relationship and with knowing one's place in the chain of command. That chain of command followed who was strongest. Witches were vulnerable, weaker, needed protection, order, rules. They were subject to the will of the men. But this girl, this fucking girl, he was the only mage he knew who could come close to taking what she could do. He'd never seen anyone like her. There was no way in hell she'd submit to anyone weaker, trying to drown out her nature, hoping to hide herself, even then she was unable to submit to any weaker creature. Her sassy mouth She'd challenge the Union Forces Army with her attitude. Maybe the girl will work with them. There's no reason not to, Gage speculated out loud in the face of Kallax's thoughtful silence. Kallax shook his head again. You know how she responds to the idea of being anyone's sugar. She's not a follower and too young to be a decent leader. Gonna have to figure something else out. That girl. Kallax paused, thought through his words. Should he tell Gage his suspicions? One of the ancient dead trees, the one in his bedroom had been carved out of, which yesterday stood like petrified stone sentinel, now shed its stony bark as spring buds pushed through. She had done this, and that was impossible. And her behavior, that was damn fucking dangerous. She's going to be an issue for the men, too. I'll have to talk to everyone. She changes everything. What does that mean? It means I can't have anyone getting confrontational with her. I only control the chain, and really, I'm not sure how far that control goes now that she's releasing all that energy. She used it on me. The thing is old. Maybe she woke up old capabilities that I never heard of. I don't know what she did. I don't know, but what she did isn't how natives work together. Touch or a conductor. You saw what happened. I was on the other side of the building. Yes, she's different. Even I can see that. Different good or different bad. That's what I want to know. Kallax kept his thoughts to himself. Andrews would talk to her. Gently probe her for some truth, and he'd have a better idea of what to do going forward. I'll be sending the hounds to watch Badonna in Jack's place. Gage's eyes darted away and back. He made excuses. You know how hard it is for women. She's just trying to survive like the rest of them. Gage liked Badonna. She was pretty and a decent fuck. Gage and Max would have brought her here, but the little spit of magic wasn't enough to warrant Kallax's protection. He wasn't running a whorehouse for men to pick and choose from. The girl didn't walk around with that used-up face some of the women other women had, but the hellhounds could change that. The hound's effect on humans could be devastating. It was difficult for anyone to be around them. They were good watch animals, however, intelligent enough to understand if Badonna broke routine and acted suspiciously. They wouldn't know if someone was plotting against him. And they'd know if someone was plotting against him, hear his name spoken. Using the caller, Kallax could connect with seven through the alphabet, the whole pack. It was a sloppy kind of communication. He had a feeling Anya's way was better. Meeting Gage's eyes, Kallax said, I don't like killing women either, but if I have to choose, he motioned to the yard, the queen tree. I get it. The four of them had sat out in the open in Jack's place, where his claim on the kitchen rat captured the attention of everyone in the room. She had been nothing, a menial, androgynous worker until she sat in that booth with three males, her anger and frustration lighting up her face, lighting up her blue eyes with energy. Confused by the magic he saw on the soft silk of her skin but couldn't yet reach, he blamed her for his lack of foresight. She unbalanced him, distracted him. He'd forgotten himself. The attention condemned the girl as mark for his enemies, caused the locals to take notice and roused up questions that should have been asked long ago. He'd used every stripper in the place, but none of them had sat next to him in the booth, protected on all sides. He let his mage instincts take over, and it could cost them. It would serve him right that someone saw her because of him, recognized as her as the daughter of Noelle de Vive, and was putting together some pieces. He'd have to plan for that in the future. Looking at the green bud sprouting on a tree that had been dead before his birth, the future had just taken an unexpected turn. Girl could be the key to everything, a key they had to keep and protect at all costs. He glanced at Gage. Whoever Anya is, what happened today told me what she can do. I need to work off some of this buzz. It's maddening. Where did I leave my axe? And that is the end of chapter 9. And it took me about, my clock is reading 29 minutes. So I Before I read this, I accidentally read chapter 10 and called it chapter 9. And I have to decide, I think I'm going to try and edit it and post it later today. We'll see how that works out. I need to tell you really quick, sign up for my newsletter if you are interested in information about choosing her alpha. That information will go out on next Monday for sure. Advanced reading copies, information on signing up for those for choosing her alpha will be in that newsletter. You can also find me on Facebook as Isawellen Writes and at my other links. Thank you so much for whoever donated to the podcast. I appreciate you. I'm halfway to my goal of $150 to support this. All of that money will go for this specific podcast because charges to it come out of a credit card, and I'm going to put everything on that one credit card that I never use for anything. So your support will go to help me keep reading. And if you like this story, $5, $10, whatever, everything you give is very encouraging. It makes me feel like my work is worth paying for. So, and I am hugely blessed, hugely blessed. I don't take it for granted for a minute. I just wish I could give you more. I feel like I need to give you more. You guys definitely keep me on top of my writing. So I'm going to end this. I've already been reading for almost 2 hours. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check for the links in the notes of this podcast. Thank you for listening and watch for an update. If I can edit chapter 10, because I read the whole chapter, it wasn't perfect. And then all kinds of chit chat at the end, another 20 minutes of that. But if I can get it together, I'll do it. Remember, I'm just a lady, not that technical, logical. I can't even say the word. I'm not that capable. I got a phone and some headphones, especially today. I'm headphone and phone today. So have a great day. Have a great Friday. And I can't wait to read to you again.